Blog Talk God Radio.
We will never be. Jesus is forever. Can never fail, Jesus. We never fail, Jesus is forever. Y'all never fail, Jesus never fail. We never fail, Jesus is forever. Can never fail. Jesus has never failed. Holy Ghost can never fail. Jesus is in forever. We never fail. You'll never fail. Can never fail. Jesus is in forever. We never fail, y'all never fail. You can never fail. Jesus is in forever. I have the light of God in me. I have the light of God in me. I have the spirit of the Son of God. I have the light of God in me. I have the light of God in me. I am the light of God in me. I am the spirit of the Son of God. I have the light of God in me. Praise the Lord, I have the light of God in me. Praise the Lord, I have the light of God in me. I got the spirit of the Son of God. I have the light of God in me. Praise the Lord, I got the light of God. I got the light of God in me. I got the spirit of the Son of God. I have the light of God in me. Praise the Lord, I have the light of God in me. I have the light of God in me. I got the spirit of the Son of God. I have the light of God in me. Praise the Lord. I have the light of God in me. Praise the Lord. I have the light of God in me. I got the spirit of the Son of God. I got the light of God in me. I have the light of God in me. Praise the Lord, I have the light of God in me. I have the spirit of the Son of God. I got the light of God in me. Praise the Lord, I have the light of God in me. You are the light of God in you. God is spirit of the Son of God. God is light of God in you. Praise the Lord, we got the light of God in us. Oh yes, I am the light of God in me. I am the spirit of the Son of God. I have the light of God in me. Yes, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord. Have your way today. Bless us with God. Send your word to save, to heal, to deliver. God, let there be deliverance upon Mount Zion. Show up in a mighty way tonight. Lord, send your word. God, bless everyone keen into this program today. Visit us in a mighty way. Give us your spirit, O God. Give us your power. Give us your anointing, O God. Give us your presence, O God. Do something new in the life of everyone joining in this broadcast. In the name of Jesus, open the ways now, O God. Let there be an outpouring of your spirit and your power and your grace and your mercy to save, to heal, to deliver, and to bless everyone joining in this broadcast tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Miracle walking prayer. Open the for you. Make you break it through. Oh, if you believe, you will receive a blessing. God has for you. Miracle walking prayer. Prayer. Miracle walking prayer. Miracle walking prayer. Open the fire. Keep you breaking through. Oh, if you believe, you will receive a blessing. God has for you. Miracle walking prayer. Prayer. Miracle walking prayer. Open the fire. Keep you breaking through. Oh, if you believe, you will receive a blessing. God has for you. Miracle walking prayer. Prayer. Miracle walking prayer. Prayer. Miracle walking prayer. Open the fire. Keep you breaking through. Oh, if you believe, you will receive a blessing. God has for you. Prayer. Miracle walking prayer. Prayer. Miracle walking prayer. Open the fire. Keep you breaking through. Oh, if you believe, you will receive a blessing. God has for you. Prayer. Miracle walking prayer. Prayer. Miracle walking prayer. Open the fire. If you going through, oh, if you believe, you will receive a blessing. God has for you. Prayer. Miracle walking prayer. Prayer. Miracle walking prayer. Open the fire. Keep you going through. Oh, if you believe, you will receive a blessing. God has for you. Miracle walking prayer. Prayer. Miracle walking prayer. Open doors for you. If you going through, oh, if you believe, you will receive a blessing that I for you. Miracle walking prayer. Miracle walking prayer. Open doors for you. If you going through, oh, if you believe, you receive. I'm blessing God for you. All glory, glory, glory to our God, our glory. All glory, glory, glory to our God. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will continue to pray and never be tired. Continue to pray, I will never. We shall continue to pray, never be tired. Continue to pray, I will never be. Let us continue to pray, we shall never be tired. Continue to pray, never be tired. I continue to pray, I will never be tired. Continue to pray, I will never. Let us continue to pray. Continue to pray. I'll never be tired. We shall continue to pray. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. I'll never be tired. Let us continue to pray. I'll never be. We shall continue to pray. Never. Let us continue to pray. Never be tired. Continue to pray. Never be tired. Continue to pray. Never be tired. Continue to pray. Never be. We shall continue to pray. Never be tired. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. Continue to pray, continue to pray, continue to pray, continue to pray, I'll never be tired. Prayer is a key, prayer is a key, prayer is a master key. Jesus started with prayers. And ended in prayers. Prayer is the master key. Hallelujah. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started in prayers. And ended in prayers. Prayer is a master key. Hallelujah. Prayer is a key. Oh, prayer is a key. Prayer is a master key. Jesus started in prayer and ended up in prayer. Prayer is a master key. Hallelujah. Prayer is a key. Prayer is a key. Oh yes, prayer is a master key. Jesus started in prayer and ended in prayer. Prayer is a master key. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise God today. We're giving praise, glory, honor, and adoration in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit. Take absolute control of tonight's broadcast. God bless everyone today. put it broadcast in the name of Jesus. Do something new in our lives. That our joy shall be full. Yes, Lord, do something new in our lives. Something great in your life. Something wonderful in your life. Today, do something gracious in your life. Something beautiful in our life. Something great in our life. Oh God, today has come. Another day has come. Do something new in our lives. Yesterday has done. Another day has come. Do something new in our lives. Do something wonderful in your life. God does something gracious in our lives. Something beautiful in our lives. Tonight, Holy Ghost, do something great in our lives. Something beautiful in our lives. Something gracious in our lives. Tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We cannot do without you, Lord. We cannot do without you. We cannot do without you. Lord Jesus, Holy Ghost. We cannot do without you, Lord. We cannot do without you. We cannot do without you. Oh, Lord. Call upon him. In the days of trouble, call upon him. He will answer you. Call upon Jesus. In the days of trouble, call upon God. He will answer you. Answer you. Call upon Jesus. In the days of trouble, call upon Holy Ghost. He will answer you, call upon him. In the days of trouble, call upon Jesus. He will answer you, call upon him. In the days of trouble, call upon Jesus. He will answer you, call upon Holy Ghost. In the name of the Lord, call upon Jesus. He will answer you, call upon him. In the days of trouble, call upon him. He will answer you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Y'all, welcome to the Hour of Miracles radio and television ministries of the Jesus Christ Global Mission, reaching you all the way from Langham, Maryland, USA. This is the Archbishop Philip John Biokoro coming away with the living word of God. That saves, heals, delivers, and blesses in the name of Jesus. We thank God that all things work together for good. As I was praising God, I was seeing in the spirit people who have serious financial difficulties. God was showing me people who are going through financial hard times, financial crunch, and they are having financial trouble. That's what God was showing me as I was worshiping. And I tell you, he's able to do all things. He's greater than all your problems. Our God is bigger than all your troubles. The God on all your need, God is the God on every mountain. You cannot see. Be God on all your problems. Oh, be God on all your need. God is the God on every mountain. You cannot see. Be God on all our troubles. Bigger than every need. God is bigger than every mountain. You cannot see. Our God is bigger than all our troubles. Oh, bigger than every need. God is bigger than every mountain. We cannot see. God is showing me another group of people. There are enchantments and divinations and concussions against your life. But the blood of Jesus has canceled those powers. In the name of Jesus, yes, we are the Jacob of today. We are the Israel of today. No weapon formed against us are prosper. Every tongue that arises against you in judgment is condemned. The blood of Jesus Christ have destroyed every yoke, every bondage, every chains and fetters, every curses and spells and enchantments are nullified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh God, arise, and our enemies be scattered in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. There is no enchantment against Jacob, and there is no divination against Israel. Oh, yes, we are the Jacob of today. We are the Israel of today. Every weapon formed against us has been destroyed by the blood of Jesus. Yes, we rise up and live for Christ. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, our fear is gone. And because I know he owns my future, my life is worth a living just because he lives. Because he lives, you can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, our fear is gone. And because we know he owns a future, your life is worth a living just because he lives. Yes, because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. Because God is alive. God is not dead. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He has not changed. He has never changed. He does all things miraculous. The great provider is our healer, our redeemer. Yes, we need to have faith in him and trust in him as we call upon him in prayer. Yes, he's there to meet your needs. Harabasa. Yes, Lord, we receive a breaking through now of a breaking forth. We receive the light of God that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Yes, we possess our possession. We receive all that God has for us today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, today we're going to be talking about prayer changing things. Prayer changes things. And of course, you all know that prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking with God. Prayer is asking from God. Prayer is communicating with God. This is very important because he's our Father. Say, when we pray, Jesus, they say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth Hallelujah, in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. See, we talk to our Father, our Creator. He's our Maker. Yes, in Him all things He has made, and there was nothing that was made that He didn't make. So we report back to Him. We tell Him our need. We pray unto Him. He said, call upon me in the days of trouble, and I will deliver you. Psalm 50 verse 15. We have a God that never fails. We have a God we can relate to. We have a God who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's very, very willing to help you. You need to just call upon Him, and He will be there for you. Oh, yes, God is very, very willing to help you. He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for you, for the remission of your sins. The blood was shed that you might come into His presence and receive grace and help in the time of need. Yes, so prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking with God. Prayer is communicating with God. And as you read from Genesis to Revelation, we found out that prayer have always been there, have been powerful. Things have been changed. Destinies have been turned around just by prayer. And the people have been saved. People have been healed. People have been blessed. People's needs have been met. Bodies have been rolled away. You know, a lot of things prayer does. And it hasn't changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hallelujah. Our text is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. From verse 7 to 9, said Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. From verse 7 to 9, Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. And everyone that knocketh, it shall be opened. And then He made a very powerful statement. Jesus said, if ye earthly parents, you know how to give good things to your children, how much more the Almighty God. When your children ask for bread, you don't give them a stone. I like that. When your children, you know, your earthly parents, you know, it was dramatizing. When your children ask for fish, you don't give them a serpent. You know, you meet the needs of your children, of your family, and needs, and you help people, you reach out to people. How much more the Almighty God who created heaven and earth? And Psalm 24, verse 1, says, the earth is the Lord, and its fullness thereof. The silver and the gold, and everything therein belongs to God Almighty. You know, so when we are talking to God, you are talking to your Creator, and you must be rest assured that He is ever willing to answer. If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I, God, will answer and meet all their needs. See? So God really wants you to communicate with Him. Oh, yes. I will thank God for our Father in the Lord, Honorable Bishop Samuel E. Monk. He's also going to be sharing with us in a little while now. Very soon he's going to be sharing. Welcome, sir. God bless you, sir.
Yeah, God bless you.
Yes, sir. You are welcome. So I'm just going to take a couple of minutes, and then Mr. Samuel is going to take over. Yeah, sometimes it's very interesting when we are all talking like this, because the preaching of the gospel is only one man's work. Jesus said, go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. So I'm excited. I'm happy. And I know everyone is happy too. We're going to be learning and sharing and receiving from the throne of grace. In 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, the part is start with verse 13. It says, if I shut up the heaven and there is no help, and there is nothing happening, there is no visitation, there is no breakthrough, then in verse 14, it says, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, God says, I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God is very, very, very willing to help. But are we asking? He's our Father. We need to ask him. Sometimes people ask the wrong person. You know, I remember one time, one of my friends, a pastor friend, was traveling by air. He was in a flight. And something happened to the airplane, and the pilots, they announced, say, well, we are sorry that this plane has lost direction. Something has happened to the plane. The radar has just been faulted, and we don't know where we are going now, but let's see what we can do. The pilots, they announced, and of course, you know, that's what happened in the flight. They tell you what is going on. And this man of God, he said he was looking. People were calling on their father who have died. Some people were calling on their juju in their village. People were scrambling for help. One person brought holy water from his bag and started pouring it. Another person was calling on their dead father. Somebody was calling upon the God of their villages and so on. Then the man of God stood up and said, hey! Jesus is Lord. Yeah, we are going on this journey. The devil is not going to come in here. In the name of Jesus Christ, this airplane is taking us to our destination. In Jesus' name. And everything came down, and then God began to move. You see, you can't call on dead God. That's what Prophet Elijah was saying. Prophet Elijah, in the context on Mount Carmel, he was trying to tell them that, what kind of God are you serving? Is it the God that doesn't answer prayer? You are calling on Baal, calling on Juju, calling on this, calling on your great father who have died, calling on your village Juju, and calling, and there's no answer. Why don't call upon the Almighty God who created heaven and earth? The God who made you, the God who saves you, the God who heals you, why not call on him? This is very, very important. We need to call on the right person. Sometimes we dial 911 before we call God. There's no problem. Of course, you can dial 911. There's no problem. But we need to call God first. No? Some people will go to the bank and look for loans. When they haven't called God, they are moving. They are doing things. No, you got to call God first, because he is the omnipotent God. He has the answer. Oh, yes, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only answer. For he was today, above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
What can the man of God speak first? Our Honorable Bishop Samuel E. Monk, join us all the way from Florida. I tell you, God's going to bless this man abundantly. In fact, God has already blessed him and his family. and his ministry and his church. God has already blessed him abundantly, more than enough. Yes, in the name of Jesus. So, sir, we are open to you. You can share with us whatever God has placed in your heart concerning prayers. What do you want to tell us about prayers?
Number one, pray without ceasing, which means even when you're eating, there should be a prayer in your mind.
Yes.
Like we always say, a thought of prayer. In everything, pray always. Pray without ceasing.
Yes.
Never a time you stop praying. As you're lying on your bed to sleep, you have a thought of prayer. You wake up, you have a thought of prayer on your mind.
Yes.
Even when your leg doesn't move. Because the God we serve is a God that wants us to have communication with him. So
put the microphone near you.
Praying, talking. So you are not hearing?
Yeah. Yeah, put the microphone. Yeah, we are hearing. We are hearing, but see if you can draw the microphone nearer your mouth. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
So no, we are hearing. We are hearing, yeah.
Yeah. We pray because it is our communication, a conversation with our Creator God. And that is why he said, pray without ceasing. He also says, for men ought always to pray and not faint.
Yes.
Don't allow panic and fear overtake you. We live in a world that is full of troubles and trials. Job says, a man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. So why should the happenings of the morning or the happenings of the afternoon or the happenings of the night surprise you or stress you? Even in the midst of the troubles, in the midst of the rain, in the midst of the hurricane, storm, ice storm, sandstorm, or water, in all of these things, men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to panic. Fainting is even more serious than panicking, because when you're panicking, you are still able to do one thing or the other. But when you faint, you are motionless. Your hands cannot do anything. So we see how powerful this practice, divine practice of prayer is.
Yes.
Men ought always, not sometime, not in the morning, not in the afternoon, not in the evening or midnight. Men ought always to pray and not faint.
Yes, that's true.
You don't just faint over the things that are happening. Don't allow yourself to be so afraid that it reaches that level. For if you pray, you will not be panicking. Families and men and women that pray, they don't panic. Because panicking after praying is like you don't trust your God. Because this God we serve is a God that heareth and answereth prayer. Even in the midst of the chains that Paul was arrested and was then taken from Jerusalem to Rome across the Mediterranean Sea. Along the road, there was a storm. There was a hurricane. The sailors and officials began to tremble. But at the bottom of the boat, ship, was a servant of God, Paul, praying always, day and night.
Praying on. Yes.
Day and night. For 3 days, and when the people were busy throwing away things, Paul stood up and said, "Yeah, man." While people were busy, panicking, thinking, I was doing what I ought to do. For men ought always to pray and not to panic or to fear.
True.
And so Paul said, only the ship will be destroyed, but we will get to our destination. Nobody will die. Nobody will experience a watery grave.
Yes.
When you are sure of what God has said to you, you will be relaxed in the midst of the storm, like our Master Jesus. He was cooling himself, taking a nap, even when the storm was shaking. The power of prayer. When you pray, you won't worry. When you worry, you won't pray. That is why the hymn writer says, why worry when you can pray? Tell Jesus.
Jesus,
so men ought always to pray and not to faint.
But trust upon His promise. Let's sing this song properly. Why worry, worry, worry
when you can pray? Why worry when you can pray?
Trust
in Jesus,
you know
He
that
will
we
will
do the other house of summer. But trust upon His coming. Why worry,
worry, worry, worry
when
you
can
pray?
Yes, thank you, King. Hallelujah. Yes, why worry when you can pray? If you turn it around, it will be why pray when you can worry.
Yes.
These two things don't meet. If you turn it around, it will be why pray when you can worry. Now, if you turn it the other way, it will be pray and don't worry.
Yes.
These two things don't meet. You are either praying and you are not worrying about the situation, or you are worrying and then you are not praying about it. These two things is like fear and faith. If you have fear, then you don't have faith. If you have faith to believe and receive, then you shouldn't have fear. See, this is very powerful. Please, Bishop, we're going to have you again in this program. Stay with us. He has just made a very powerful point. He says, why worry when you can pray? Because worrying does not solve a problem. Your being worried and being traumatized and being disturbed does not solve a problem. Rather, call upon Him in the days of trouble, and He will deliver thee. You see a practical example in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 to the end, you see King Jehoshaphat was surrounded by five enemy nations who want to crush him to pieces. Five enemy nations want to crush Jehoshaphat to pieces. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you know, for you to understand it more, you start from verse 1 and read the whole chapter. And King Jehoshaphat did what was supposed to do as a child of God. He ran into the church and began to pray. Of course, see, where will I go? I was glad when they say, let us go to the house of God. Where else will you go? Will you go to Sena? Will you go to King Jehoshaphat? Run into the church, run into the house of God. The house of God is a place of prayer. King David, Psalm 122, verse 1, says, I was glad when they say, let us go into the house of God. Your own home, your own parlor, your living room, your sitting room can also be the house of God. The house of God is everywhere, the temple. He said, know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost dwells in the temple. So he called upon God and he was praying. While he was praying, the answer came from heaven. Jehoshaphat, you don't need to fight this war. You just keep right on praising me. Just worshiping. You see, the methods of God are very different from our own methods. God said, my ways are far from your ways. And my methods are very far from your methods. Praising God in the time of trouble is the very opposite. Why will you praise God in the time of trouble? But that's what moves God. Praise moves God. Prayer moves mountains. See? This is very powerful. And they began to praise God until those enemies began to fight themselves. Just like the situation we have in Ukraine and all these people trying to destroy the whole of Ukraine. We are all praying for President Zelensky. President Zelensky, I know you are hearing this message. God is answering prayer. God is intervening. And the devil is the loser of this war. You are already a nation, God has called the people to be a nation, and the devil is not going to stop it. There's freedom, there's liberty, and the devil is not going to put you back into slavery. All of you in Ukraine, you are going to worship God and serve God and the God people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare victory for President Zelensky of UK. In the name of Jesus, the devil must fail, the demons must fail, the witches and wizards must fail, the enemies must fail. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want to draw our attention to a very powerful example in Isaiah 38, verses 1 to 10. King Hezekiah had a situation. King Hezekiah. And in Isaiah chapter 38, King Hezekiah was sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah was sent to go and deliver the message. What was the message? King Hezekiah, set your house in order or you will die. And of course, that was message from heaven. Now let me tell you this. Prophecy may not always be God bless you, God bless you. See, the messages of God are not always God. There is rebuke. There is reproof. There is correction. Oh, yes, that's what the word of God says. So the word of God is profitable for reproof, for correction, for teaching, for doctrine, that the man of God might be perfect. So there was a rebuke. King Hezekiah, if you don't set your house in order, you don't put your life in order, you don't put things in order in your life, you're going to die. And the message was true. It came from heaven. I thank God for King Hezekiah in Isaiah chapter 38. The Bible says that Hezekiah turned to the wall and wept. That's a prayer of repentance. He turned to the wall and wept and cried unto God. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And he had me out of his holy hill. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. Lord, oh Lord, I'll My glory and the star of the
my
head. Yes, he totally walked and prayed a serious prayer. Now listen to this. If you look at Isaiah chapter 38, you see that the prayer was very short and to the point. You see, King Hezekiah said, oh God, remember I have been faithful to you. Remember I have served you. I have loved you. Oh God, heed me now. Very short prayer. To the point. And the prayer moved God. Because it was not just a prayer. There was a sign of repentance. You can see. If you don't have to pray only one way. There are various ways of praying. Sometimes we are too prototyped. We try to do the same thing the same way all the time. See, he wept and cried unto God. How is God not answered? That's a serious prayer right there. And God came again and said, King Hezekiah, because you have had my word and repented, I'm going to heal you, and then I'm going to give you 15 more years. And it's very interesting. I want to ask you one question. What type of prayers are you praying? Because some people's prayers won't pass this test. Some people's prayers, you know, there is no repentance. There is no turning away. You see, Second Chronicles says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall pray and seek my face, and then turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. God is very willing to heal, but there must be a turning around. Oh, yes. King Hezekiah, he prayed a prayer of repentance. He came on his knees and talked to God for real. And God answered. May that happen in your life. In the name of Jesus, I don't care what you are going through right now. I want to let you know that there is power in prayer that can change things and turn hopeless situations around. I don't care what the devil is doing, but God answers prayer. He meets every need. He fights every battle. He gives us victory. He strengthens and upholds us with his right hand of righteousness. Oh, yes. Look at the man of God just shared with us, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He said, we ought to pray and not to faint. Because a lot of people are fainting right now. I don't really blame you because it's real. It's real. People are fainting. People are fainting of what is going on. You know, look around. You see, things are not the same. Prices of things have gone up. Gas prices. All kind of economic problems and wars and shootings and killings and kidnappings. And there's no security no more. Because there's fear now all over the whole place. But look at Luke chapter 18, where the man of God has just shared from. The men ought always to pray and not to faint. So there are things that can make you faint. You know, things that are troubling, shocking. All kinds of strange things that are happening this world today. But look at Luke 18 verse 1 says, we ought always to pray and not to faint. We don't have to, you know, faint and cry and die and kill ourselves because there are issues. Oh, no. We have a God that doesn't, that he has the answer. He has the solution. And we rely on him. We trust in him. We look unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. And then look at the next point the man God just made. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. He said, pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. Pray every day. Pray. Some people say, when I get to the church, I'm going to pray. No. You can pray even in your room, in your home, in your house, inside your car, in your kitchen. You can pray anywhere. you know, to pray without ceasing. You don't have to wait. Some people say, when I get to church, I will open my Bible and then I will read it. No, you can read your Bible anywhere, anytime. You can pray anywhere, anytime. Say, pray without ceasing. So there is no stopping. It is something we must do. And don't tell me there's nothing to pray about. No, that would be wrong. Don't tell me there's nothing to pray about. There is so much to pray about. Look around you. You see people in distress. You see people in trauma. You see people are poor. People don't can't afford it. And a lot of things are happening. The other day, somebody said she has to donate her blood, her plasma. She has to donate her blood in order to have money to pay rent. You know, strange things. How much plasma can you donate? How much blood can you really donate to make all the money to pay all the rent every month for a whole year? These strange things. That's why we need to turn to God. Help from above, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. On that name we call and we approach God in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. And when you call upon him, he does not fail, nor stumble. Yes, our Honorable Bishop Samuel, you still have some more points to add? Yes.
Yes. A few more points to add. As I was saying, are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Yeah, as I was saying, in the midst of that boat in this harp.
Yeah.
When every other man in the boat was struggling, 256 of them.
Yeah.
That shows you how God answers prayer.
Yeah.
We serve a God that answers prayer. And so Paul stood up and assured the captain and the 256 people in that boat and said, God said, the ship shall be broken into pieces, but
yes,
no life will be saved. No life will be lost. And he just stood by that promise. He stood by that assurance because he heard from God.
Yes.
Sometimes God will speak to us, reveal to us certain things, and sometimes before those good things will come, the devil will show up. Because the darkest hour of the night is 1 hour to the morning.
Yes.
So when you pray and the storm comes, the hurricane comes, and properties are destroyed, there is a promise. No life will be lost because we serve a God that hears. Not only does he hear, he answers prayer. He's a God that listens to his children. He's a God whom we serve, the God of all flesh, with whom there is no variableness, a shadow of turning. We can trust in this God. We can lean on him. And how do we do that? Communication with him. Conversing with him. Because this is a relationship, a close-knit relationship. And when you are talking and conversing with God, exchanging words with God, because that is what prayer is. Prayer is nothing obsolete out there, but it's something which we, as we communicate with our brothers and sisters and loved ones, so also shall we, or should we, be involved in communication and talking with the God of all flesh. Prayer.
Yes.
Prayer. Prayer is the key. And just after he finished, maybe the next day or a couple of days later or hours later, the boat was destroyed, broken into pieces. But the 256 people Paul was traveling in their midst, they all used pieces of the boat to get to the shore. That shows that we serve a God that answers prayer. One thing God will not do, he will not cease to answer your prayer. Even the very thought of it, that's why I said, before you ask, I have heard. In every situation, he answers prayer. And I can sit here for the next 30 minutes and give you a long list of catalog of men and women who prayed and God that we serve answered their prayer. Why will he abandon you? Why will he not answer your prayer if that is his ultimate will, to hear us when we cry as a father?
Yes.
To do what he knows is good for our lives, to lead us to that blessed promise, because we are his children. If our earthly parents will not give us stone for bread, if they will not give us snake for fish, how will he not, our Heavenly Father, give us that which we ask of him? The intimacy that is involved in close best friend relationship is far less. And when we look at that, we should also look at related to with our relationship with God. If we keep best secrets with God, our friend and father, if we confide in him, if we trust him, communicate with him, share with him, because that's all that prayer is all about, sharing with God, talking to God, telling him how we feel. He hears when we cry. He knows our uprising and our down-sitting. So in the midst of that, as we pray, we know that he answers. That is the effect of prayer. Deliverance, victory, awakening, securing you, because he is a God that hears and answers prayers. He is a God who is mighty to save and mighty to heal. He is a God that in whatever situation we find ourselves, he has told us we should learn therewith to be content. And the year, the months and weeks ahead of us, in the midst of all the distresses we experience, let us know that God will serve, answers prayers. And that is the reason why it may be allowing you into situations and circumstances, storms from one to another, so that when you shout and call upon him, you will say, here am I. What do you want me to do for you? He is by you tonight. He is by your side. Just talk to him. Just tell him how you feel. Just tell him what you want. Because we used to say in those days, Jesus is the answer. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. The telling is prayer. And we know that we have lots and lots of benefits. When we call, he answers. When we call, He delivers. When we call, He heals. When we call, He provides. When we call, He honors. When He calls, He lifts us up. Oh, God, I'm in the pit. He will lift you up. He will lift you up. He will lift
Amen.
You up.
Amen.
He's the lifter. He is the lifter and the finisher of our soul. That is our relationship. And that way of talking about prayer is to talk about how are you related to Jesus? How is your relationship doing? Did he talk to you today, or did you talk to him today? How far away are you with Jesus? Because you don't stay a far off distance to be howling on your friend, or you are a man or a woman, you have a relationship, father and mother, you go close. It's a reserved time, not a public time. So look at prayer as a relationship with God, not any other person. And when you look at it like that, you will be on the pathway of getting results of whatsoever you ask of Him. For many of us, we talk to organizations, we talk to men, we talk to fellow humans more than we talk to God.
Mm.
We tell every Tom and Dick about our troubles and prayers, but we never talk with the owner of our lives. Think about it. You have to rethink or re-examine your communication pattern with God, your prayer pattern with God, your conversational pattern with God, or your conduct with God. This is prayer time. For men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Quickly, we want to talk about the various types of prayers. There are various types of prayers in the Bible. I'm going to touch them very quickly. Number one, we have the prevailing prayers. We have intercessory prayers. We have congregational prayers. We have fasting prayers, the prayer of faith, congregational, conventional prayer, prayer of importunity, and so on and so forth. But I'm going to touch a couple of them, and you can always use any of the methods, because there is no one method of praying in the Bible. There are various methods we can always use. There is praying in tongues, praying in the spirit, and all these are various methods. Sometimes people stick to just one method. You don't use just one method. There are many ways to kill a rat. You want to kill a rat? There are many ways to kill a rat. I want to talk about fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer is a very powerful weapon in the hands of the believer. Jesus said, "This kind goeth not out except by fasting and prayer." Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. This type of problem goeth not out except by fasting and prayer. So there are some issues, there are some troubles, there are some needs that can't move except you add fasting to it. This is very important. Jesus Christ talked about us fasting. Oh, yeah, he said, when you fast, don't be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Do it behind your closed doors, and your Father, who sees in secret, shall answer you openly. So Jesus himself endorsed fasting and prayer, and it's a very powerful weapon in the hands of the believer, fasting and prayer. You go without food, without water for a couple of 1 or 2, 3, 4 days or spirit might lead, and then you come heaven's gate and so on and so forth. It works. Oh yes, Esther chapter 4, verse 15, Esther went into prayers when they were needs, there were problems, there were troubles. Esther went into 3 days of fasting and prayer. If I perish, I perish. And heaven intervened, and there was solution. The enemy who planned death for the Jews were the ones who died. Esther and her group and her people were saved. See the power of fasting and prayer. So fasting and prayer is a very powerful method of praying. I want to also talk about the prayer of importunity. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 10. The prayer of importunity. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 10. Importunity, that is a prayer that continues. You know, you pray until you get results. Operation push. You pray until you get results. Many people give up. You know, many people pray 1, 2, 3 days and they stop. They say, maybe God is not going to answer. Some people, they are very impatient. A patient dog is the fast bone. A patient dog. So Daniel was praying, and the prayer has been blessed. The answer has come, but there was a power that was withholding it, and he continued praying until heaven came down. May that be your story in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not pray and give up, pray and you know, and throw in the towel. You must look unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. You know, there's the prayer of importunity. You hold on until your result comes. Oh, yes. You continue to look unto Jesus Christ. You don't give up. See practical examples in Luke chapter 18, which we read the other time. A woman was desperate. And because she was desperate, the person she's asking from had no peace. And so the person had to answer her. See, the Bible is full of practical examples like these of people who prayed until they got results. Operation push. And when we're talking about prayer here, we are not talking about a public show of prayer, because Jesus had already won. In the synoptic gospel, Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They want people to know that they are fasting, that they are praying, that they are giving alms. You know, when you make a public show, then God is not involved. It is your Father who sees in secret shall reward thee openly. See, this is a very important thing we need to adhere to. The prayer of faith, no, we pray in faith. You don't pray with unbelief. A lot of people pray and there is no faith in it, no action, no confidence that God is going to move, that God is going, God walks by faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. There's the prayer of faith, which was mentioned in James chapter 4, verse 13 to the end. The prayer of faith, James chapter 4, verse 13 to the end. The prayer of faith brought healing to the people. You believe to see. You don't be like Thomas, doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas, he said, if I can place my hands in those hands of Jesus Christ and see that the nails, where the nails are pierced, then I will believe. See? No, that's not faith. We believe to see. We trust to see. So when you believe, when you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. And if you will not doubt in your heart, God hears you. You know, the prayer of faith. We need to take note of that. And then there is the intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is when you pray beyond yourself. You pray for those in need, those who are suffering, those who are going through stuff. A lot of people, all the fingers are not equal. A lot of people are in the hospital. As we are talking now, people are in the hospital. As we are talking now, some people are in prison. People are suffering. So intercessory prayer is you pray not just for yourself. You pray for others as well. Look at Job 42 verse 10. The book of Job chapter 42 verse 10. It says, and God turned again the captivity of Job after he prayed for his friend. Job 42 verse 10. God turned the captivity of Job after he prayed for his friend. See? It was the prayer that opened the door for his own need to be met. He interceded for others. He prayed on behalf of others. Sometimes people are so thirsty with their prayers. They are only praying for themselves. They are only praying for their family needs and for only their needs. No, that's selfishness. Jesus prayed for everyone in St. John's Gospel chapter 17. Jesus was praying for the church. Right now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you and I. How about Abraham? Abraham, in Genesis chapter 18, he interceded for Lot, his brother, to be saved. See, God turned the captivity around after Job had prayed for his friend. So there's something about interceding prayer. We need to be intercessor. We are our brother's keeper. We are our sister's keeper. As you are praying for somebody else, God is praying for you. As you are praying for other people who are in need, God is turning your captivity around. Look at this, Job 42, verse 10. Job 42, verse 10. He says, and God turned the captivity of Job around after he prayed for his friend. God restored back double everything that Job had lost after he prayed for his friends. So there is something about intercessory prayers. Job 42 verse 10. Don't tell me you have nothing to pray about. There is something to pray about. There's someone there that is homeless. There's someone there that is sick. There's somebody in the hospital. There's somebody in the prison. There are people all over the world are having needs. Your prayer can save even the lost. Your prayer can open the door for somebody. Your prayer can give a breakthrough, a visitation to someone in need. And by so doing, say when you pray for others, God interferes in your life. God intervenes in your own life and brings solutions to your problems. Oh, yeah, we have so many types of prayers here. Yeah, I've just touched only a few of them. Bishop Samuel, you have something to say about the various types of prayers? You have something to say about the various types of prayers?
Just to add that, like the Bible says, all kinds of prayers, especially when it comes to leadership prayer, praying
yes.
for leaders, even in the midst of bad circumstances or situation, bad economy, pray for all those are the authority. Pray for all men. So it brings to the point of prayer of intercession, prayer
yes.
of supplication. You've seen the evils that are upon the country and upon the land, especially in the United States and other parts of the world. When we see these things and we are moved, like Jeremiah says, when we have compassion, when we seek for the welfare of the land in which we dwell, there will our welfare be. Therefore, we pray for the leaders. We intercede for the land. we make supplication, we groan in our spirit. And sometimes when you don't have the desire to pray, just tell the Lord to give you PP. Praise, 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 and praise will lead you to prayer. And you'll be able to pray all kinds of prayer, kinds of prayer. Intercessional prayer, like the Archbishop has said, supplications, intercession, and all of this come together by reason of the anointing. When you begin to make use of the prayer power of the Holy Ghost, you will groan and groan and groan. And that is one of the areas that the enemy doesn't understand. What power that goes out when a believer prays in the Spirit. Thank you, and God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I still want to touch one more point there.
Yeah.
You see, there's congregational prayer. Congregational prayer, Acts of Apostles, chapter 12, verses 1 to 15. Acts of Apostles, chapter 12, verses 1 to congregational prayer. And in that chapter, you find that Herod took hold of Peter and put him in prison, trying to kill Peter. Peter didn't do anything wrong. The devil was just operating. Satan came to steal, to kill, to destroy, but Jesus came to give life. King Herod, you know, arrested Peter and put him in jail, trying to kill him. And if you look at Acts of Apostles chapter 12, the Bible says the church began to pray for the apostle Peter. And as a result of that prayer, God sent an angel into the prison and opened the prison, cut the chains from Peter's hands, set the captive free, and Peter came out of the prison, you know, to continue serving his God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. I like that. You know,
yes.
Congregational prayer. The church began to pray for the apostle Peter until God sent an angel to go into the prison and bring out Peter. See, the church was praying, congregational prayer. Congregational prayer. There is congregational prayer where the people of God come together to pray and God intervenes and God does things. There are so many practical examples, you know, of prayer. I remember the Azusa Street Revival in California, 1906, by, you know, the Azusa Street Revival that brought revival to the earth. But that revival touched the whole earth. Azusa Street, William Seymour, Reverend William Seymour, the African-American pastor whom God used to bring down the Azusa Street Revival. They were always having prayers, and those type of prayer. I read much about the Azusa Street. We need another Azusa Street right now. Yes, we need another Azusa Street. Because we're talking about gun violence and all these things going on. How did they pray? Those people, they meant to pray. Oh, Reverend William Seymour and his group, Apostolic Faith, you know, they met to pray, and they prayed indeed. And the type of prayer was not, God, give me butter, give me bread, give me granola, give me fish, God, give me, that's not, they prayed earnestly. They asked God to intervene, they prayed for revival, they prayed for heaven to come down, and they were confessing their sins. Yes, I'm reading about the Azusa Street. And they were confessing their sins. They were confessing the sins of the land, just like Daniel prayed. And God came down. 1906, Azusa Street, revival that affected the whole globe. And revival came down as a result of prayer, congregational prayer. Church today is being over-commercialized. Everybody is thinking about buying aeroplanes, buying, you know, without choice, you will not go buy aeroplane before. You see, all these things, selfishness and greed have taken over the church. People are becoming carnal and worldly. See, the power is not there anymore. We pray that God will restore the revival of the church, the prayer life, the restored. Holy Ghost, miracle, revival to come down from heaven. God should visit us again and do something new. Revive thy work, oh God. There's too much compromise all over the place. Selfishness and greed. And people have left the faith. People don't worship God. They are just thinking about where and reach out. They can grab and grab. They come to come and pick something from the church. They come to come and get something. They are not there to sacrifice. They are not there to pray. They are not there to fast and say in the presence of God, oh God, send us another Azusa. Another Azusa sweet revival, oh God. We need it today. We need it today. And the power of God came down from heaven. And people began to run to go and pray and confess their sins. Criminals brought their guns and threw them down. They brought their weapons, their drugs. Prostitutes ran out of the hotels and brothels, and they began to serve God. Criminals, they ran into the church and repented on their knees. And it was so great a revival. Oh, God, send us another Azusa Street. Please, God, send us another Azusa Street revival, oh, God. We too cold. There's too much lukewarmness and coldness and compromise. There's too much selfishness and greed into this church. God is upset. God is angry. The Holy Ghost is grieved. Everything is flesh. Everything is carnal. And God is not moving. Everything is just dumb and dead. And nothing is happening. Oh, God. Send us another revival. Send us another Azusa Street, oh God. Send us, oh God, we need it this day. In the name of Jesus Christ. And crime rate came down. The crime rate,
yes.
The crime rate was reduced. People were no longer killing. They were no longer shooting. As I read through Azusa Street, it went on to say that there were no court cases. There were no court cases anymore because there is nothing to go to court for. And then the police were free. They didn't have jobs again. They don't have so much to do. Everybody became cautious about God. People were going to prayer in the street corners, in their homes, in their families. Holy Spirit took over the nation, and everyone was seeking God. Everyone was seeking God. Heaven came down and took over the whole of the United States of America. Oh, God, let's have another Azusa Street, oh, God. Please, God, please send us another Azusa Street. And there were no crime rates. There were no criminal, nobody to arrest. No drugs, no shooting, no killing. No war, no fighting, no racism, no color discrimination, no slavery, no everything. There was freedom of worship, and everybody was seeking God. Just like heaven on earth. You know, it was like heaven on earth. And it lasted for a couple of years before carnality came in and they spoiled the whole thing. And then, you know, you see, oh, God have mercy upon this world. You know, so a group of people met in Azusa Street, 1906, led by Reverend William Femo, African-American Reverend William Femo. I thank God for him, with blessed memory. They led the prayers that brought heaven down to earth. The prayers that brought heaven down to earth. I like that. It was a selfless prayer. I read through all that material. You know, It was sacrificial prayer. They weren't asking for this or that. They were asking for the Spirit. They were repenting of their, they were confessing the sins of the land. They were asking God to take control. And God indeed came down. And the Azusa Street revival affected the whole United States of America and beyond. And the people traveled from various parts of the earth. They came to see what was happening in Azusa Street. I tell you what, we have to pray God to give us another Azusa Street. Please, please, we need to pray God to give us another Azusa Street. Because that's the only thing that will bring solution to the problems we have today. You're talking about gun control? Which gun control? Can you control gun control? What are you controlling? See, by Christ shall no man prevail. It is not by power, not by mind, but by the Spirit. You know, and Azusa Street revival brought deliverance to us, brought healing, you know, brought revival and brought life. And everything was so orderly. People, there was no crime rate anymore. There was nobody to arrest. There was no shooting of guns anymore. There was no court cases. The police didn't have to move around looking for criminals. There is no criminal anywhere. There was no crime. Nobody was doing any crime. You know, we pray God to do that type of thing again. See? Because all I see around is people are trying to form church. Of course, churches can be formed. There are churches everywhere. But what are they doing? What are they really doing? You know, as I went through Azusa Street Revival, I say, oh, God. Please, we need it again. We need it again and again and again and again. All this compromise and all this flesh and carnality must go in the name of Jesus. Yes, all these things must go. These are people like Esther. She did not pray for herself. Esther says, I perish. For 3 days, she and her team were in the presence of God. And God came down and intervened. Those are the type of prayer that God answered. You go to churches today, all you see is women that are here to prostituting, looking for men to grab, looking for people to snatch people's husbands and all these type of dirty stuff. You know, that's not going to bring any revival. There's too much flesh. There's too much carnality. There's too much compromise. There's too much selfishness and greed, and God is not happy. The only spirit has been grieved by today's church. God is offended. The only spirit has left, and everything is just flesh and carnality. May God forgive and have mercy upon this generation. In the name of Jesus Christ, may God have mercy upon this generation. In the name of Jesus Christ, may God Almighty have mercy upon this generation. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want to touch also on the prayer of agreement. This is another powerful type of prayer, the prayer of agreement. Matthew, Jesus was talking about, if two of you shall agree on earth, and touching anything, I, the Father, we do in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 to 20, Matthew's Gospel chapter 18, verse 19 to 20, if any of you shall agree, two or three shall gather and agree that God should do this, God said, I, God, will do it. See, a prayer of agreement. Very important. Husbands and wives, we agree. Families, we agree. Children, we agree with your parents. And there is unity and love and peace. You know, in one accord, they stormed the gates of heaven, and heaven intervened. The prayer of agreement. Say, if two of you shall agree on
it. Amos said that. Two cannot walk together except that they agreed.
Yes, go on. Go on, man of God. Go on, sir.
No, that's just the thought I wanted to drop in there.
Yes. See?
Yeah.
For two people to agree, they have to come under the, you know, the same faith, the same belief. There is too much doctrine left and right. This is my charge. This is my doctrine. This is what I pray. This is what I do. Who cares? We are the church is the church of Jesus Christ. It's not the church of Mr. Green, Mr. This, and Mr. That. No, you personalize what the Holy Spirit is doing. You personalize it to the point where the Holy Spirit will just pass its load and go. And then everything becomes carnal and worldly. And God is not happy with all these things. Quickly, we want to talk about hindrances to prayer. Some hindrances to prayer. Honorable Bishop, you have to say
about if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So hindrances, one of the major things is regarding evil in your heart. If I regard, if I consider, if I give a thought to evil against anyone, then when I pray, I will just be wasting time because my iniquity blocks the ear of God. Makes it as if our God is deaf, but it is not our God. But you and I, because of our iniquity.
Yes. We are talking about hindrances to prayers. What are some of the hindrances to prayers? Right here, we have about 4 points. Hindrances to prayer, unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Unforgiveness. People, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66, verse 18. King David, Psalm 66, verse 18. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If you regard iniquity in your heart, the
yes.
Lord will not hear. Unforgiveness. No, for the first time, I was hearing people who have enemies. They have people they don't greet. They have people they don't talk to. They are keeping enmity and keeping grudges. They have enemies. And the enemies are even within the church. Within the church, there are people who don't talk to each other. People don't fellowship. They don't enmity in the heart. And unforgiving spirit. And these are all hindering prayers. God is not going to come down to do anything yet until you have learned to forgive. Say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others their trespasses against us. Because that's what Jesus was saying in the Lord's Prayer. He said, Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others their trespasses against us. Now, if you don't forgive, God is not going to forgive you. Oh, yes, God is not going to answer your prayer. See, Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66, verse 18, King David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And this is the reason many people pray, and God is not answering. Heaven is not interfering. They pray night and day, fast and pray and do everything because they have grudge. They have enmity in their heart. Husbands and wives, they are not united. Everybody is doing its own. The grudges and unforgiveness inside their spirit. How will God handle it? You know, within the same Christianity, some people don't talk to, some people are not doing it. Some people are, you know, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. A kingdom divided against itself can never stand. And all these things are happening on forgiveness. They keep grudges. They remember offenses. They take offenses. How many times will people offend me before I retaliate? Peter was even saying that one. Peter, how many times will somebody offend me before I will retaliate? He was thinking about retaliating. Then Jesus busted him. Know what, Peter? He's 70 times 7 times. So if you want to be keeping all the offenses, somebody's offending you, it's got to be 70 times 7 times before you will retaliate. But, so you're not going to be able to do that. Why not just let it go? You know, you need to clean your heart. When you clean your heart, then God is ready to do things. Oh,
that's
yes.
Right. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive.
Yes, as we forgive.
Because forgiveness is predicated on our ability to forgive.
Yes.
That is why he taught us to pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us.
Yes.
So the
true
measure of God's forgiveness for you is determined by your own measure of forgiveness of your brother or sister. That's why the bishop was saying, yeah, how do you forgive your brother? How do you forgive your sister? It is very vital in our lives today.
Yeah.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that trespass against us.
Yes. This is very important. If you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. And God will not forgive you if you didn't forgive your neighbor. If you forgive others, they forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others their trespasses. In this world, there must be offense. People must offend you. You must offend people. You are offending people too. You are doing things that people are angry. People, you get people upset. You are stepping on people. And how do you get help when you have not forgiven? You have not released those that hurt you. You know, what Jesus was trying to say is, let go. Let God. There's a song. He said, let go. Let God. People hinder themselves, hinder their prayers. The reason people fast and pray and pray and pray night and day, night and day, night and day, and nothing is happening. Look at Prophet Elijah. Elijah, in James chapter 4, he is a man of like passion. But when he called God and God came down, the fire came down, you know, a man of like passion. See? Someone who is intense with heaven, intense with God. You know, that's what it should be. All these grudges, tribalism, racism, all these things must go from our midst in the name of Jesus. And then, of course, some of the other hindrances are doubt, fear, unbelief. Unbelief. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Unbelief is the opposite of belief. When you don't believe, then God is not going to come down yet. Unbelief, doubt, doubting somebody. They let that man think that he's not going to get any gifts in the book of James. See, that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yes. See? So when there is doubt in your heart, there is fear, there is unbelief, there is unforgiveness, is the reason prayers are not answered. Even if you pray every minute of the day, every hour, you pray night and day, you fast and pray, God is not going to answer because there is unforgiveness in your heart, there is unbelief, there is doubt, you are quarreling with people, you keep enmity in your heart, You keep grudges and offenses, and God is not happy with you. God is not answering your prayers, so your needs are not met, and nothing is happening. You know, and then another hindrance to prayer is the lack of faith. Some people don't have faith. You need to have faith. You can have faith as a mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed. And if you will not doubt in your heart, it shall be done. You need to have faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. When you lack faith, that is when God will not move. You don't have faith as a mustard seed. So you can't say to this mountain, be thou removed. See, unbelief, doubt, fear. There's vain repetition. Jesus said, avoid vain repetition. Avoid vain repetition. People repeat prayers a lot, and they think they are pleasing God. Elijah. Look at Elijah. Only just a few words, and heaven came down. Oh, may that be our story. Oh, just a few words. And that's it. Eh?
Yes.
Just a few words of faith. That's it. Heaven and earth responded. You know, vain repetition. I see people repeating the same prayer over and over and over. This is before Kenneth Hagin went to be with the Lord, he made it clear. He said, when you pray the first time, God heard you. If you are going to repeat that prayer, you don't have to. Just thank God and praise him for answered prayer. Because God has you. He has you. God is not deaf that he cannot hear you. God is not blind that he's not seeing you. Your iniquity has separated between you and God. The reason people vain repetition. Jesus said, avoid vain repetition. When you pray the first time, God has already answered. Now, the next time you want to pray about it, you thank God. You give him praise, you know, in advance. That moves God into action. You don't have to do vain repetition because Jesus condemned vain repetition. Repeat, 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 repeat. And it's annoying to God. You are even trying to do as if God is dead. God is not dead. He's hearing you. He's not dead. God's not dead. He's alive. God's not dead. He's alive. God's not dead. He's alive. I feel him all over me. God's not dead. He's alive. God's not dead. He's alive. God's not dead. It's alive, I feel him all over me. I feel it in my life. It's alive, I feel it in my soul. It's alive, I feel it in my hands. It's alive, I feel him all over me. God's not dead. It's alive, God's not dead. He's alive, God's not dead. He's alive, I feel him all over me. I feel him in my life. He's alive, I feel him in my chest. He's alive, I feel him in my home. He's alive, I feel him all over me. God is not dead, he's alive. I feel him every day. I see him every day. If your God is dead, come and try my own. He has never failed. He has never fallen. He has never gone to sleep. And Elijah said, maybe your God traveled. Maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe your God has gone to eat or something. They have God that don't hear them. They have God that don't answer them. That's not your story. You must come to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of Elijah, the God answered by fire. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not change. He's not dead. He's alive to answer you even right now. Call upon him in the days of trouble, and he will deliver thee. Say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, we can. Yes, go on, Bishop.
Yeah, I was responding and concluding your prayer by saying amen.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
First of all, we want to do one more thing before we round up. We have just 10 minutes more to go. We have just 10 minutes more. There is something I want us to consider very quickly before we say the closing prayer. It is good you have a covenant relationship with God, because God will answer the prayer of his people. Because he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall pray and seek my face. See, if my people. See, that's how it started. You have to be God's people. You can't serve Satan and you are praying unto God. You can't serve the devil and you are praying. God is not going to answer you. See, if my people, you have to be God's own people. You have to repent and turn away from your wicked ways. You have to have a change of heart. You have to live a new life. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You have to receive Jesus Christ into your life, into your heart. Let him be your personal Lord and Savior, and then you can approach the gates of heaven and get your request. It's not enough to just keep it. Of course, God may answer unbelievers when they call upon him. In days of trouble, he answer, yes, but you need to have a covenant relationship with the Almighty God. So he sees you, he knows you, and he answers you every time. If you don't have that relationship, you can do it right now. By confessing your sins, you know, he that covered his sins shall not prosper. But when you confess and forsake your sins, then you shall have mercy. See, God is not mocked. Whatever seed the man sow, that shall heal him. If you sow evil, you get evil. If you sow sin, you get sin. If you sow righteousness, you get righteousness. Wherever you are in any part of the world, taking part in this broadcast, I want you to bow your head and pray the sinner's prayer. Let Jesus come into your heart. Confess your sins to the Almighty God. Ask God for forgiveness. Let him come into your life. Let Jesus be your Savior and Lord so that you can have mercy. What shall it profit you if you gain the whole world and suffer the loss of your soul? Today is the day of salvation. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Yes, reconcile with God today and let him be your personal Lord and Savior so that you can have eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We pray for you wherever you are in any part of the world joining us in this broadcast. We pray that you will be a child of God, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Let Jesus dwell in you richly. In the name of Jesus Christ, and may you be a doer of this word and not just a hearer alone. And may God change things in your life. May he turn hopeless situations around. In the name of Jesus, may he turn your captivity into victory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, God, have your way in the life of the people. Yes, Bishop Samuel, please, can you pray for, as the Spirit will lead you, pray for those that need in trouble. A lot of people are going through all kinds of situations right now, and they need help. Please, man of God, can you pray for those in need right now as the Holy Spirit leads you?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you.
Yes.
Lord, give you praise. Lord, you brought us to that point where it seems as if it is the red line. But one thing I do know is that you are a God that loves. You are a God that provides.
Yes.
You are a God that sustains. You are a God that heals.
Yes.
You are Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tsikenum, the Alpha and the Omega.
Yes.
With whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning.
Yes.
Oh God, you said, call upon me, and I will hear and answer you.
Amen.
And I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Amen.
Lord, in the behalf of every man, every woman that hears the sound of our voices tonight, this evening, whatever time they view this program, Lord, I release the anointing that breaks every yoke.
Yes.
Upon their family life, upon their
yes.
individual lives, upon their business lives. Lord, in the name of Jesus,
amen.
Call upon your name and ask you to do the things that you alone knows how to do, impossibilities. For there is somebody hearing us now facing impossibilities. But Lord, by the next turn of life, 7 days, 10 days, whatsoever, Lord, I decree and declare that they shall see the light of day, miracles unfolding one after the other, open
yes.
doors opening one after
yes.
the other. Lord, you are the way maker. Make a way where there seems to be no way. For somebody
yes.
hearing the sound of my voice now, Lord, make a way where there seems to be no way. For your name is a strong tower. The righteous that hear my voice shall run into that open door and be
Amen.
Saved, be healed, be delivered, be set free. Thank you, Heavenly Father, as I commend each and every one under the sound of my voice unto the
yes.
word of thy grace that is able to build us up and to give us an inheritance among those that are sanctified. Be honored and be glorified. We pray in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. 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 Also, we pray for restoration of our prayer life. Holy Spirit, heal our prayer life. As many
yes.
that have been weak in prayers, God, heal their prayer life. As many that the devil has stolen their prayer life, God, restore their prayer life, oh God.
Yes.
Make us prayer warriors, intercessors, and people who travail and prevail in the place of prayers, Lord. Restore our prayer life, oh God. Heal our prayer life, oh God. And even in our nation, let there be a restoration of prayers. In every nation on earth, let souls be one to the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord,
Amen.
For blessing us today. Jesus' name. Please forward this message to everyone you know. Email it, tweet it, share it. Send it across and let people know the truth. That the truth has said and free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by him. We want to thank every one of you for your cooperation. for being on this broadcast with us, those on YouTube and Link and Twitter and Facebook, and those joining us on the phone, by radio, by TV, from around the globe. God bless you all. Thank you so much for your cooperation. God reward you abundantly. Jesus loves you. We love you too. And we say, prayer is the key. Prayer is the power you need today. Call upon him in the days of trouble, and he will deliver you. Jesus loves you, Felicia. I will love you all, and we say, God bless you all abundantly. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you, our honorable Bishop Samuel Imon. Thank you so much for your cooperation. God bless you abundantly and reward you and your family. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key. Hallelujah. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started in prayer and ended in prayer. Prayer is the master key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key.